Today's Data for Good podcast was with Christian Geisler. We talked about AI in product management. He is CPO of McMakler, and he leads all areas of data, product, digital, and software development at McMakler. McMakler is the prop tech or real estate company. Great conversation, very practical, to the point. We talked about the future of AI in product management. We also talked about tools, the skills, the mindset shift that you will need to do as a product manager to engage in this new AI-enabled world. Excellent podcast. I'm reeling. What is the fundamental or at least significant difference between product management for data and product management for the more conventional software development?
Yeah, in my view, it's the, let's say, the time for feedback. So in let's say in generic product development, when you build certain software in e-commerce or whatever, you get instant feedback once you roll out a POC or you build an MVP. You can test it with customers. For data, it's a little bit different because the time you capture data and you change the data in order to get a certain product out of it, usually that takes quite a long time because the models need to learn. So I would say the development cycle is much, much longer than on regular or general product development cases. So I think that's the major difference, because you cannot do those kind of quick and dirty fake door tests you can do on e-commerce platforms, but on data it's quite difficult to do that.
Yeah, that speaks to why often is referred to data delivery is done through waterfall rather than agile, or maybe one of the factors, one of the reasons at least.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that gives us a nice intro into today's topic. We'll be talking about product management in AI, or the impact of AI on product management. And so let me start with that question. Explicitly, what do you see as the impact of AI on product management processes?
Yeah, I think exactly as you say there, I think we have to distinguish with AI and what kind of impact it delivers to product management. For example, within our company, there are three major fields where we're dealing with AI. The one piece is the customer interaction, where all those new generative AI tools and ChatGPT of this world basically come into the game, where we might think or rethink the customer interaction. The second piece is our internal processes. So for example, for our case, our real estate brokers, how the processes can be optimized or supported by AI. And then the third piece, exactly as you say, is what kind of tools and support we can generate from AI for our product development, whether it's within design, whether it's within the product work, or whether it's actually within the technical development. So those are the three fields we're dealing with. And in particular for the processes for our teams, I think that is something where we, for example, and in our case, we still have a lot of question marks, and we're trying to test and learn from new tools popping up right now. Those are the fields we're dealing with currently.
Okay. New tools popping up right now. Some insights?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what's the new call? The tool Zura, I think, was launched 2 weeks ago, which is an interesting thing, because now all of a sudden you can do something with not only with pictures, but also with videos and on this kind of stuff. For us, for example, when we're thinking about real estate, it's about this 360 views when people try to get an impression of the property. So there are new options and new things you can think about of providing more insights from the property we're trying to sell, and the customer can interact with them in a different way, or could interact with it within a different way. So it just opens new options we haven't thought about in the past.
Interesting. Okay, so that would determine how different, or rather, your product management would be significantly different based on the different tools that you're using for the different kind of features of your product.
Correct. So in general, it always depends on the use case and the problem you're facing. Yeah, you always start with the problem first. And then based on that, you always have this few ideas how to solve that problem. And I think AI is just an additional tool on top of it, which gives you more flexibility in order to tackle that specific problem. So just because you have a problem doesn't mean that you have to use AI in general. That's for sure. But it gives you more creativity in the ways of thinking of, okay, what could be an option to actually tackle that problem. I mean, give you an example. For example, we are dealing with quite a lot of documents we usually get from the authorities, but also from customers. And then it's about data protection, where you have to reduct certain areas of a document. It could be still a manual process if it's the cheapest and easiest way, but of course AI could help you, or a sort of a picture recognition or auto reduction tool can help you also there, to help you in the process. So as I said, there are multiple different ways of tackling the same problem, but it gives you additional options of what you can choose from. Yeah, let's call it that.
Okay. The problem is solved by the people. And let me just lay a bit of context to what I want to say. I want to ask about PMs and how they need to be different to work in data than working with software development. And the context is 2022 and 2023. We saw a demand for data and AI product managers. It's dropped off a little bit, I must admit. But one piece of feedback we were getting from clients is that we don't want people from a software development background. They need to have worked on data products because they are fundamentally different, or at least the product management skills are. So I wonder how difficult that transition is for a product manager. What's your take on that?
It's a tricky thing. I think there's one side where, at least that is my experience I made so far. When you're working in data, there's a lot of things where you, as a product manager, you don't know 100% how things work. Yeah. So if you would ask me how the data model or the algorithm is working, I have no clue about it. And I think that is something, this kind of uncertainty is something product managers in data, specifically in data, need to deal with. Whereas, let's say in the previous, in the classic software development, people usually know exactly how things work and how they are connected. I think that is, for example, one of the big differences between those two. And the other thing, as I mentioned earlier, it's about this. You need to prepare in a different way for data products than you usually do for let's say the classic tools and services. It's more about data infrastructure. It's more about structured data in general. It's about clearly articulating the goal or the KPI you want to optimize the data model for. And for me, what I've learned so far is also that you have to connect specifically with the data team much earlier in the development process than, for example, on the classic products, because you cannot say, "Hey, build me a fancy algorithm or a fancy data model," and then you test it out, and then you change it here, change it there. But you need to be very precise in what you're actually asking for. And the sooner those people are involved in the process, the better and the more promising the first MVP could look like.
Perhaps that speaks to the hesitations I see in product managers. What do you think the concerns or the hesitations that product managers might have are in terms of making that transition and working on AI projects?
I mean, it's this typical. Well, first of all, it's I think this it the change, people don't like change, and it's the same applies to product managers, because there were certain methodologies, certain processes you usually do, I think now it's this. I wouldn't call it pessimistic kind of view on things, but it's this caution on the unknown, how I actually can leverage this kind of assets of AI tools, for example, for product managers. I can use them to get structured information out of unstructured feedback, whether it's customer feedback and it's being in a structured way. So it improves certain steps. And I think it's about to accepting this kind of change and to be very open to those kind of new things, and first of all, try it out. Yeah? If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it helps you and it creates value also for your product management processes, why not adapting to it?
Yeah, I like it. To lure product managers across, could you speak about the positive impact that AI has had on product management?
Yeah. What I've seen so far is that you need a longer breath of seeing the results and the positive impact. That's one thing. The other thing is, usually what I've seen, you start small, and within those small use cases or niche use cases, you start this kind of applications, you make a significant impact. So overall, it's still maybe this 0.5% overall for the company, but in that specific use case you're tackling, I don't know, saying we want to reduce the email response time for customer services, but you see their huge impact, and that is actually very, at least for me, very fulfilling. So it's accepting that you're building small pieces one by one, so you don't build this silver bullet everyone is looking for. It's those small pieces, and those small pieces take time. I think those are the two components you just have to accept as a product manager if you go more into data products.
Are they positives though?
Well, it's very fulfilling. I mean, if you see something which goes up 100 to 150% from the KPI you were actually aiming for me, that's pretty cool. And still, instead of, we made the difference from, I don't know, 65 to 66%, you know what I mean? Like this, yeah. At least for me, it gives a little bit of a positive or more positive thing.
Yeah. Longer project times. I don't know whether that works for or against. Perhaps you can.
True.
Okay, yeah, but cool.
What I've seen so far, I mean, at the end, for example, in product manage, or at least my view was over the past 15 years, there's also a component for product managers to educate the organization. Yeah, because usually within the tech department, you guys are working on the first things which might generate the change in the organization overall. So that continues. It's just that we're now using new tools. So beforehand it was, I don't know, bringing the agile methodology into the organization, and now it's more about, hey, think about data, think about data-driven decision processes, think about no-code solutions, because AI can support you in those kind of things. I think that still continues, and it's just a different vehicle we're now trying to educate and to advocate within the organizations.
Mm.
So I think hasn't changed for product managers.
Okay, excellent. So that education piece will no doubt remain a challenge, so, you know, part of the journey of delivering product to the business. What other challenges exist in today's AI world for product managers?
I think it's about what we've seen is that you can actually, or it's not, well, it's not a negative thing, it's actually a positive thing, to leverage AI or AI tools to verify hypothesis much, much faster, because you don't necessarily need to have the entire development and being involved. You just, I don't know, you use certain tools. It's maybe not applicable on a large scale, but it basically approves the concept or approves the idea you're verifying. And that actually supports you in order to capture, again, more data to make your point and saying, hey, we created this small POC with help of an AI tool. It works perfectly. Let's roll it out for the entire company or for all the use cases, not for a specific one. So I think that is something product manager need to pay attention to, because I think that is a very powerful tool they can have in order to also bring their ideas into the organization.
Interesting.
Because, again, I think I have seen that in different industries, is always this, hey, we're doing this now for 30 years. Why should we change it now? And I think that to break down this kind of mindset, it's always good to have data instead of opinions. Yeah.
Mm. We see that from businesses to, at least at a very basic level, for teams and employees to be much more data-driven. Great if a PM can go back to the business with data-driven results. How about mindset? I'm guessing there's, or actually I won't guess, is there a mindset shift for PMs embarking on a delivery of AI into the business?
Whether it does or whether PMs should do it.
Is there a mindset shift?
I would be surprised if there is none, let's put it that way. So because I think you have to. At the moment, it's, first of all, it's you see left and right that new tools and new technical capabilities will pop up, which actually, and that is for me, that's, I think, one of the first times that I've seen that organizations want to adapt to AI, but they don't know how. Which is an interesting thing, because in the past, what I've seen so far is that, as I said earlier, product managers needed to educate and to convince the organization that we should go in this direction. Now it's, I think, even the other way around, because people are seeing this cool ChatGPT, Zora things and say, hey, we should do this something within the organization. But then once you talk to those PMs, they don't know how to apply those tools or to apply this new technology into the existing organization, which is, for me, some kind of mind change, because in the end, it was more the idea follow, or the technology follows the idea. But now it's, I think, the other way around. And therefore, yes, there needs to be some mind change for product managers, for sure, to actually come up with ideas and say, hey, those tools can support us in this challenges or in this problems we're having, which comes back to what I said earlier. It supports you because it gives you new additional ideas. Maybe it was technically not feasible in the past, but now it does. You know?
Interesting. So talk to me about some of these tools then, and then the skills needed to for adoption of these tools.
I think at the end, you need someone to, well, it depends on how much of the value proposition you want to do in-house. Yeah? Of course, you can work with external partners. You can also work with agencies which might have already that experience to bring this kind of technology into organizations. But in general, of course, you need to have someone who's responsible in your organization. You need to have someone responsible for data or data products in general, whether it's on the product side, whether it's on the data side, whether it's the data scientist or the data engineer, it doesn't matter. But at least you need to have a sort of a core team which feels responsible and empowered to do those kind of things. And then as a let's say classic product management setup, you have to pull in the different stakeholders you need in order to execute this idea, whether it's someone from business, from operations, from technology, from DevOps. That's up to the actual project or the use case you're trying to tackle.
Interesting. Have the stakeholders changed, and have their demands and expectations changed based on this hysteria that we all see on the internet?
I would say not that much. I think it's still the same, let's say the usual same problem as every product manager is facing. You have stakeholders coming to you with an idea, or not with an idea, but basically with a solution. Say, hey, can we do this and this and this? And then generally you're trying to understand, okay, before you come up with the actual solution, what's the problem behind it, to really understanding whether the solution fits to the problem you're facing. That hasn't changed. Yeah. On the contrary, it's like, I don't know, people come to you and say, hey, this is the new ChatGPT-4 thing is out. Can this thing not now answer all the emails we're getting from customers? Yes, of course it does, but what is the actual problem? Yeah. So
yeah.
I think in that way nothing has changed so far. At least not from mine.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought it's more of a challenge for PMs nowadays, because businesses weren't as aware of software development capability like we see on the news every day with various AI tools and products that can handle any area of your business.
Yeah,
an interesting time. How do you think things will evolve? If you look, I want to say 5 years, 10 years, but let's come, given what's just happened over the last 12 to 18 months, how do you see the next 12 to 18 months for AI in product management?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I mean, this is, I think for product management, I think it will change in the way that we're leveraging more and more capabilities through AI tools, whether it's speeding up testing and discovery processes, whether it's capturing unstructured data from customer feedback or stakeholder feedback and put it in and convert it into a structured way, whether it enables product manager to build their own POCs by no code solutions or by those kind of AI tools just to verify their hypothesis. I think that will continue and that will grow. For me, it's more about also the organization that, as I said earlier, you need to start small. You need to identify certain use cases to create this value. So even for companies which had nothing to do with data products in the past, I think it's the time where they really have to rethink their processes and their value propositions to see whether there is potential in there. Even if it's a small use case, but there is, due to the new tools, you have massive, or you can create massive impact for those niche parts of your customer journey or your value proposition. And I think that is something which will increase more and more.
Will it make the life of the product manager any easier? Of course, all the stakeholder challenges.
I mean, what I've seen, it never does. I mean, it's always, you have a certain capability of let's say bandwidth within a certain time period to plan your roadmap. You have certain resources, and it's never getting easier. This, whether you get more resources, whether you have new tools, it's always, you always have to prioritize. I think that is still, that still continues to be the prior one to do of a product manager, to get all the information, to get all the requirements, get all the challenges in the organization, and prioritize it accordingly to a certain framework, whether it's an ICE, a RISE, or whatever is out there. You still need to prioritize. I think that will continue.
We've talked about the evolution. We've touched upon the tools and the skills and the mindset. I wonder if you could provide some advice for product managers who might be hesitant about engaging in the AI world to deliver.
I think the main advice is start small. You have to choose specific topics, specific use cases. I don't know, maybe a specific task the product manager is doing on a regular basis, which annoys him because it's time consuming, to see whether that like in that specific part, the new AI tools can help, or some kind of solutions can help. When we're talking about the let's say the development process. So let's start small, identify a thing, test and learn. Maybe it's the wrong tool at the beginning to change one from with another, and then slowly build up your knowledge on those kind of things, so that once you face more and more problems, that you have this, let's say, toolkit on your hand to say, hey, we had something similar on a smaller scale. Why don't we use the same tools now on this problem? I think that's the only, for me, the main and the biggest advice I can give, because that's the same thing as we started 12 months ago, I would say.
It sounds like an easier ask if you work in a consultancy and you're faced with myriad different clients and their challenges. But if you're working for, you know, a SaaS business, you might not come up with that array of challenges and the possibilities for evolving your AI skills as a product manager.
Yeah, but that comes back to the point I made earlier. It's about the change. As I said, people don't like change, whether it's the product manager itself, whether it's the organization, or even the customer. So you have to start small. Whenever you have a big thing, a big bang, whether it's internally or externally, there is a huge portion or a huge potential of failure. So I would always start small. It helps you to learn. It helps you to create those kind of small data points where you say, hey, this is the reason why we're doing it, and this is the reason why we're continue to do it, because it is successful, maybe on a small scale at the beginning, but you see already the potential. So this is something you can do, and you need to do.
And you need to do. Poignant. Christian, thank you very much for sharing today. I probably have lots more questions that I'll ask you afterwards.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Hey, very welcome. Very welcome. Where can people find out more about the work that you're doing with McMakler?
We're trying to, let's say, share as much as possible, of course, to a certain extent, because there's also competition in the market. But it's also, and I think this is also what we're trying is to apply certain knowledge which is already out there, maybe in a different industry, and just apply it to ours. So simply speaking, we're selling properties, and there's not a huge difference of selling cars maybe or other stuff. So same methodologies, same processes. Same problems, same challenges apply to those kind of things. So as a product manager, I would also recommend to look left and right what's happening there, and then ask yourself whether I can apply it to the space I'm in. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thanks, Christian. See you next time.
All right.